Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, Novo Ed is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, Novo Ed taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with Novo Ed to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Novo Ed Talks podcast, a space for training trailblazers to get real. My name is Melissa Fisk. I am the host of the Novo Ed Talks podcast and the producer. And today I am joined by Vimbai Nyakujara, who is the Assistant Learning and Development Manager at the Waldorf Astoria, which is part of Hilton. Vimbai has been fortunate enough to call the Middle East home for over the past 10 years, where her career has spanned within the hospitality industry in the human resources department. However, predominantly within the learning and development function, she is no doubt passionately a learning and talent development enthusiast. Vimbai, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Melissa. It's such a pleasure to be here as well.
Awesome. Well, why don't you start by just kind of expanding upon your role and your company and introduce yourself a little bit more?
Absolutely. Well, originally I'm from Zimbabwe, and as you've highlighted already, I somehow transitioned to the Middle East over the past 10 years, I'll put it that way. I've just been with the Hilton Group, which is, I would like to believe, the most popularly known hospitality group. So within the hospitality, I have been part of the learning and development professional, and I'm so happy to be in this field, and it's always fulfilling and enriching for me. I feel like I found my sense of purpose in this function, in as much as I am a part of hotel industry.
That's amazing. Can you speak to who some of your learners are and what some of their biggest challenges are?
For the learners, I would say particularly everybody in the organization. that's just everyone. To cut to the chase, everyone really. It doesn't really matter, from entry level, line level, team leaders, supervisors, managers, and even the head of department. So I would just say pretty much everyone, as long as they are part of the group. I would, in my case, because I'm based at a property level, so I would say everyone who's working within the hotel.
Absolutely. And what are some of their biggest challenges with kind of the L&D function?
Yeah, especially, again, coming back to hospitality, this is like a 24/7 kind of operation. So I think the struggle with, most of my L&D counterparts within the hospitality would also agree, the main biggest challenge is really the time, right? And you're looking at trying to pull out people to be in a different kind of setup, whereas the operation is also wanting them. So there is tends to be, what are we going to prioritize? Because there's the revenue aspect on the other side. And then there is you also wanting the exact same people who need to be productive in the operation for a particular either training session. And it's more on the demand on time, basically. It's very challenging. And I would say the other one is communication. And again, communication is very much on different dimensions, right? So first of all, like I said, being in the Middle East, the whole much of the workforce, if not for the most part, all the time, 100% is expatriate. So we're talking about a very diverse workforce. And people are coming from different parts of the world. So it becomes so much of a challenge. And again, English is not everyone's first language. So sometimes you are not sure if you've really conveyed the message in such a way that everybody has been able to understand, absorb, and assimilate it the way you really want to. So yeah, I would say those are, to mention a few, some of the main challenges, I'd say.
You mentioned, okay, so time and communication being some of the biggest challenges. How are you approaching those challenges with your L&D initiatives?
Well, I think, first of all, again, needless to say, COVID somehow also gave us some bit of wake-up call, and we realized that there's so many ways in which we could approach this function, right? So one of the things that we try to do is to adopt a blended learning approach, right? If it's really something that we don't need to pull people out of the operation and then they can settle within the operation, they do self-paced type of learning, they can use gadgets again. With the coming in of a lot of digital innovations when it comes to learning and development, we have tools that people can use. Some platforms are mobile enabled, and the team can always, connect on their mobiles. They do it on a self-paced basis. They don't have the need to always run to the training room, come to the training room. That's one aspect. The other aspect that we have adopted mostly, especially within the company, and by company I mean Hilton, we have a program where we train trainers as well, right? So the learning and development function doesn't belong to HR or the L&D people. Then we also equip other people to be able to carry on the role that we try to do, but also they're doing it at their specific departments and functions. So that way it saves a lot of time. And good thing is you have the expert who actually is able to understand and optimize what kind of learning their learners needs, because this is a departmental trainer, someone who's actually within the department, someone who's an expert on what the team needs to do, what they need to know, what they are lacking. So when we come on the learning and development, and with the way L&D has evolved right now, we are more on the side of creating or crafting learning experiences. So we're not much more on giving people, okay, you need to do this. So we have managed to, narrow down our expectation on that. Do this, do that, So we've shifted to the approach where we design a learning experience. And if we can partner with an expert in various functions across the hotel to say, hey, look, we can meet you halfway. This is what we can give you so that you're able to apply it and actually deliver the learning, the training to your team. So then I don't need to rush up and pace up based on the time the team is available. And if it's some set of learning that's structured within the department, then that really helps solve our time problem where we have to be pulling people out of the operation time and again. So yeah, I would say these are some of the few strategies we have tried to somehow address the challenges that we were facing.
Absolutely. You kind of touch on what my next question is, but I don't know if you want to expand upon at all. With the rise of, like you mentioned, in a post-COVID world, with the rise of remote work and virtual collaboration, you mentioned that you're doing you have a much more like blended learning approach. But how do you make sure that your employees are equipped with the necessary skills for kind of this new environment?
Honestly, we now that I feel like we are in an era where we're kind of not going to go back when it comes to all this digital transformation. I mean, it's here to stay. So we always have to embrace it and adopt it and try to see that to help them understand that this is more or less the direction that we are going to take. Honestly, in our kind of industry, again, being hospitality, it's a very high people to people impact environment. Very rarely we get to adopt remote work here and there, maybe as and when needed, but we need people on the ground. So remote work It works, but not for everybody. So for those who are actually doing it, they kind of have a way of easily adopting to it. But for the most part, if it's in hospitality, you need someone to serve you, you need someone to check you in, you need someone to guide you. So mostly, they are for the most part on the property. However, there's always that hybrid approach, right? Where if something can be done on a virtual basis, it can be done. And that also comes even as part of our learning programs. We've somehow adopted a sort of a blended learning approach. Some programs we deliver virtual, but some programs we really do need them in-house and in person, right? We can never I still feel that in per there's nothing beats in person, in as much as we embrace digital transformation, because there's a lot of synergy, there's a lot of collaboration that comes along with when people are together, especially in our kind of industry. And I know, because I also have other friends that are in different sectors, right? There are some friends that are in fintech, in financial services. For the most part, they never go to and back to work since COVID. They've never been to work. So for them, it also works. So I guess it depends with the kind of industry, and depending with the industry, that's how you just match your approach.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That makes complete sense. How does your team identify and address skills gaps within your organization?
I wouldn't say we have like one specific thing. And based on what we on my experience, we've had to sort of build different we had to approach it from different angles, because there's so many ways in which we have to identify and later on address the skills gap. So firstly, one of the things that I feel works so well when it comes to wanting to identify the skills gap is stakeholder involvement. So in this case, you have your leaders, the leadership team, whoever is leading a specific function or a specific department, you really need them to give you an understanding of what they need as learners. Remember, we said, our role as L&D now is more on the business partnering side of things. We're not just going to be there to say, do this, get yourself involved in this. But we also need to understand what's missing, what's lacking, and now I'm here, how can I help you? So a lot of stakeholder involvement helps you, because sometimes, and I love that our leadership team for the most part is always so collaborative. They would give you, okay, they lack in this. This is the skills gap. I'm gonna need your support in this regard. So that way it kind of helps you to identify what is required, and that's one. And we also have, there's a part where we work a lot with our HR counterparts, usually from the team member engagement surveys, we call it. So we do have a specific learning and development dimension. And from there, the team themselves, right, can give you an overview of what they feel is going right and what they feel we could do more for them. So that way, it also helps us in, addressing some performance gaps, because at least it's coming from the horse's mouth, right? Another approach that we also adopt is, remember, we in hospitality, we are mostly concerned about a business objective, which is very key, and making sure that our guests have a stay, so they have a very good experience with us. So again, we also have platforms in which they can give us a review, and they give us a clear account of what they experienced, what could they have experienced, how was their stay with us. So we have a stay experience platform that gives us also an indication of how probably our team is approaching, and could there be any gaps in terms of behavior, what can be needed to be addressed, because we're not going to be there in the operation all the time. We have to rely on a second eye, which brings me to my other method that we sometimes adopt, would be to partner with other companies that help us with incognito audits. So they actually come as popularly known as the mystery guest, and then they give you a clear account of thorough performance gaps of what is missing, what could have been done differently, and what could have been better, right? I always say, like, an audit is not there to just come and give us slaps, but it's also there to help us understand that, okay, we could do better, we are missing in this way. So those tools are very helpful. And from all of that information, we are able to also draw up an action plan, because now you have a bit more clarity and you can see how best can you approach and how can you address some skills and performance gaps for the team.
Sure, absolutely. I feel like the hospitality industry has almost like the best pulse on that because of, you know, business objectives obviously are so in line with like the customer having
Very.
full experience. So you hospitality is very quick to make sure, you know, there's tools and processes and systems in place to kind of accommodate
Absolutely.
people, which is awesome. Do you have a kind of along those same lines, do you have any like core KPIs that you measure and track pretty regularly?
Core KPI, like I mentioned, for us, what is core? Because I mean, if there is no guest satisfaction, then why are we here, right? So for us, the core KPI would be the guest satisfaction levels, right? So we basically also have a target to say, you know what, at any given point in time, the efficiency of the process should be this. Of course, the KPI will have its own different dimensions based on the process in or the system in which the guest encounters us or the guest is impacted as long as they're staying with us. So that's one major one. And also, again, from our side, I believe I've also highlighted this one before, we have a specific learning and talent development dimension when it comes to our own employees now giving us feedback on how we are performing, how we could have helped them better. And I believe also, again, it's almost tying down to what I've said again, even our mystery audits, right? We can't always be missing on a specific target. So that also overly becomes some sort of KPI that we would say, like, look, if we can always be consistently missing on the mark whenever we have an incognito auditor, then something might be going wrong. So those become now benchmarks of how we are performing overall as a business.
Yeah, that's great. Do you have a successful case study or example of an L&D initiative, either higher level or specific within a department, that really kind of highlights the success of an L&D initiative?
The one that I can really think of that's coming to my mind right now has been what we've tried to implement, which is more like an in-house coaching and mentoring program. Of course, the rest of the other programs do have their own positive results, but I would specifically magnify that particular one because, you know, it's one thing people sitting in a classroom or getting, you know, information, having a training, and they have a certain some level of motivation, which eventually impacts their performance. But it's yet another thing when you have consistent and continuous guidance in your career journey. When you have a mentor who's guiding you and you have someone who is in there that when you face a challenge, it could be in your professional work, you can easily ask that person to support you, or you can think from your mind, okay, what could this person have done? So the fact that you would have someone consistently support you and guide you and handhold you to say, look, we can do this, we're going in this direction, and I'm going to be guiding you on how you do it. So having in-house mentors and having coaches, and we would pair them up. I mean, we would pair, of course, a seasoned leader with an emerging talent, right? So you have these people with a lot of potential, but sometimes there is no one that is able to really tap into them as talent, right? And give them the right kind of guidance and the right kind of direction. But when that is being done practically and through experience, and as people grow and evolve at every stage of their life, they have someone to consistently guide them. Even when it comes to succession planning, you don't even have any challenges because you know that one person has been properly groomed to be able to take up on that role. So I would say among a lot of the other initiatives, mentoring and coaching still, you know, takes the limelight for me because there's been a lot of success stories through it when it comes to having the right guidance, especially within the property.
Yeah, I love that. What a great initiative. What role does technology play in your L&D programs? And are there specific like tools or platforms that you leverage to kind of enhance your experience for employees?
Yeah, technology, needless to say, plays such a big role. Without it, no, we cannot do anything. I think it's been very integral. And again, like right now, the most common topic with the coming in of AI, if you are able to leverage it in such a way that it works to your advantage, it provides greater, results. Technology would help you to speed up a lot of things in terms of some processes that you might needed to do manually. So it really helps. And it also helps in a lot of proper tech tracking, right? So in our case, we talk about things like learning management systems. So we want to analyze, learning data. How are people doing this course? How consistently are they doing? How many learners do we have? It has been very integral. So you have your learning management systems. And again, like I mentioned earlier on, we have mobile enabled digital platforms, right? Because nowadays we have a totally different generation coming into the workforce. That's the Gen Z. They want to make sure that whatever they use, they grew up using, also is in the workspace. So they love their mobile phones. Digital tools is there. So if they are able to do a course from their mobile without having to set the mobile down, then, that's a good thing. But also when it comes to that, that's just about probably the learning and management systems. But when it comes to things like audience engagement, so we have tools such as Kahoot. They provide such a good atmosphere when people are also engaging. You have your screen is there and the team are also answering questions from the quiz from their mobile. And that's really very engaging. Platforms like Mentimeter, I've found them to be so integral. And Mentimeter works both ways. Whether you are doing a virtual facilitation, it works very well. And also even when you are doing a classroom, a live in-person session, such a really good tool. So yeah, I don't know what I would do without technology, really. It's just the best for me. And the other thing is, I think we are also still in this process of we're continuously discovering, and I'm sure there's so much more that maybe we haven't known or we haven't even been able to tap into. And I hope, we can be able to leverage a lot and maximize on these engagement tools.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of thinking, forward to the future of L&D with us, let's first kind of take a step back and, for you as an L&D professional, what things have you seen kind of like rapidly evolve or change over the past 5 years? And like, what are some key takeaways from that?
That's a good question. Well, I would say what changed a lot is I have seen, like I said, I've been in this function for almost 10 years, right? But over the years and comparing maybe 5 years back as to what I'm seeing now, and I've seen organizations take a much more people-centric strategy to their innovative solutions. And that becomes a really good advantage, right? Back in the day, it was more like just, we're just going to tick the box type of thing. But now people are really understanding that without a learning and development sort of organizational culture, it really brings the whole system down to crashing. So I've seen L&D being put at the main forefront and at the focus of every organizational success, which is a really good thing. So I would say the future is even more brighter, especially when we're making the right kind of impact, right? Because sometimes we have these programs that have no enduring lasting value in terms of the behavior change that we want. But with time and with the way the function generally has evolved, things have changed and people are continuously seeking ways in which they can adopt more effective learning strategies.
Absolutely. And I love that. And what's crazy is like, you're not the only person to say that either, that like with everything that's happened in the past 5 years, just like this focus of being like very people focused and like, yes, technology and like, yes, things are hybrid now and all of that, but like really just like using all of that in a way that still keeps like people at the center of everything, which I think is a really beautiful thing. Now, with that, coming from the past 5 years, as the workplace continues to evolve, how do you see the future of L&D kind of shaping the next 5 years? Do you see any kind of like emerging technologies or trends you think that L&D professionals are really going to embrace?
Yeah, I think right now I would say we have no choice. There is so much advancement in the technological side of things. So there is also a really need to actually speed up on the upskilling of not just L&D professionals, but the talent in general. Because, and I always hear a lot of people say, oh, maybe AI is going to take people's jobs. But I think on the reverse, whoever is not able to adopt or leverage AI might be the one to be concerned. So there is a lot of dynamic changes in terms of instructional designing, and most of it is going to really be shaped out by the way we embrace technology. And the scary thing is a lot of things are fast becoming obsolete, you know. And sometimes I look at it, by the way, I am so good with using a particular tool, the more one of my colleagues will be telling me, ah, you're still using that. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm still using that? I'm just getting to know it, and everything is rapidly changing. So yes, I would say, there is a constant need to be upskilling, even as L&D professionals, especially on the technological side of things, because things are really advancing sometimes way so fast that it's so hard to catch up. And also, even when we talked earlier about the skills gap analysis, right? And a lot of upskilling our own talent in that direction is going to be really critical, very critical.
Yeah, absolutely. You're also not the only person to mention that or the need to do that and just to keep up with the pace of everything.
Yeah, no, the pace is it's so fast. It's a flush.
That's crazy. As a fun send-off, this is always kind of my favorite question to ask. What advice would you give to those just stepping into a leadership role?
I would say again, it sounds very cliche, but connected to what we've just talked about, it's more like be on a continuous quest for knowledge in whatever dimension, because the more knowledge that you have, the more you have a keen sense of self, and the more confident you are in approaching a lot of things, be it in your collaborative space and however you want to advance. I think the most important thing any leader needs to have is a genuine and continuous, never-ending quest of knowledge to be able to always stay at par and continuously be innovative, because that's the kind of world we're living in. It's rapidly evolving, and if you are really not going to catch up, I think it was Alvin Toffler who said that the illiterate of the 21st century are not those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn and learn and relearn. So you really have to be in that cycle where you leave whatever things that are no longer working and you start continuously advancing towards something new. So that's what I would say. It's an ever-evolving world. You just need to have that continuous quest for knowledge.
I love that. And I love the way that you phrased it too, the continuous quest for knowledge, because it is such a quest. Bimbai, thank you so much for joining us on the NovoEd Talks podcast. It's been such a pleasure having you on.
Thank you, Melissa. Such a pleasure as well. Thank you so much again for having me.
Of course. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in once again to the NovoEd Talks podcast.